The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
In this episode, we're going to explain the argument of why your happiness and you being happy is a moral obligation.
I'm Sienna.
And I'm Toast.
We're partners in love, life, and music. And we've been together since 2001.
With each episode of this podcast, our goal is to help our fellow LGBT community members lift their lives to the next level.
We are recording, we batch our recordings, and we are on number 5. So it needed a snack. So we are enjoying some smoked almonds to keep our blood sugar going.
I love these. Flavor,
they're
the
so
smoked
good,
barbecue,
right?
Salty flavor. Okay, so this is going to be a very to-the-point episode.
Okay.
In a lot of our podcasts recently, we talk about a lot of, you know, self-helpy, personal development, kind of, hey, heal your wounds kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes, depending on what circles you may be exposed to, this type of stuff may be kind of looked at as being so self-absorbed and just navel-gazing. It's like just, oh, you're so into your adolescent kind of angst about yourself. And so you might sometimes deal with the feeling of being embarrassed or shameful or wondering if you're just being like too self-absorbed and selfish to engage in all this kind of self-work.
You're so not.
Okay. So this episode, we are explaining more about that phrase that you may have heard, which is that hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
If you get hurt, then you're more likely to try and hurt others. It's kind of like a wounded animal. Those are the dangerous animals because they're going to lash out.
Yeah.
Right? They're on edge.
So much we learn from our animal friends.
Okay. But, and also just kind of like a literal wound.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes untreated and you just ignore it and and you pretend, oh, no, I'm totally fine. What are you talking about? I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And you just let that wound get infected and pussy.
You don't tend to it.
It's going to infect more of you. And you can leave your gross pus and infection in in public places where it will infect
because you're
other
dripping?
People.
All right. That's so disgusting. But it's point very, made.
But
yes.
It's very disgusting.
Point made.
The
okay.
point is, by you working on yourselves, by each of us working on ourselves and being quote unquote self-absorbed, you're doing the rest of society a service.
Yeah.
And I would even argue that it is therefore a responsibility. Like you have a duty to take care of your bleep.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take care of your bleep, it's going to cause problems for the rest of us. So please, take care of your bleep. Right? It's like making sure that your automobile is in good working order.
Yeah.
Sure, that's going to make your life easier, but it's also keeping the rest of us safe.
True.
So yes, please work on your bleep. People who are oblivious about their wounds and just let them go untreated. I mean, that's why our bosses, our coworkers, or our customers and clients can sometimes end up acting in less than desirable ways. Right? Like if we have a problematic customer.
Yeah.
Or a problematic coworker. It's probably because they're not working on their bleep. No? Are you thinking about that, Sienna?
Well, yeah, that they're not working on their bleep. Also, too, you know, you just don't know. Well, anyways, I don't want to give those people excuses or give us all excuses.
Yeah, but... and we're, of course, we're all doing the best that we can, right? I sincerely believe that we're all doing the best that we can. And I guess in this episode, I just want to encourage and reassure those of us who are working on our stuff
to keep going.
Because it's not, you're fulfilling your responsibility and your duty as a responsible member of a larger community. It's not just all about you. It might feel like it is, but hey, the better that each of us can be to show up to whatever responsibilities we have at work, in our families, in larger institutions, in our country, the better off all of society will be.
Yeah. Like, so I'm going to give an example.
Please do.
Okay. So before I was really working on myself, or actually when I was working on myself, but I was just really fresh into it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
If anyone treated anybody, like people I was with at maybe, I don't know, a restaurant or something, if anyone was mistreated in the group, myself included, but anyone, it didn't have to just be me.
Okay.
I went in and which is aggressive. There's a way to have tact in handling certain things.
Yes, right.
So I remember a time when I was less developed, and I was at a place where I had ordered food, and the person who handed it to me, they didn't give me, it was a to-go thing, and I had asked for, chopsticks, napkin, and shoyu.
Okay.
And then when I asked for it, I said, oh, they had given me the bag, and then I asked for, oh, can I have, they were just like, and they slammed the three things in front of me.
Wow.
And I, coming into the picture with the wounds, right, that I'm trying to heal, but I'm still like working on it, and I'm at the very outer layers of it.
Okay. Ooh, I can't wait to find out what's going to happen. I feel like I'm watching a reality TV show.
Because I'm a hurt person, and now here I'm going to hurt because I haven't healed, right?
Okay.
Look this person up and down like, how dare you?
Okay.
And I said, is your manager in? Right? Like,
okay.
And she just ignored me.
She just turned around and walked away.
Yeah. Just was like, I walked out of there with my bag and my angry shoyu and all those other things. Mm. And back then, there were no cell phones. Or I'm sure there were cell phones, but you didn't normally have a cell phone. I went to the nearest payphone. I called the headquarters of this Hawaii company, talked to someone, told them which location, what had happened. And then a week or two later, I received a formal letter in the mail, like on their letterhead, everything, and it was signed, hand signed, saying that they had remedied the situation and that they had let this person go.
Wow.
But then I felt bad because I knew at the time that I was reactive. I hadn't done the work, right? I hadn't done the work. And so fast forward to many years later. In fact, this was just the other night.
Okay.
So I had ordered a birthday cake for a friend, and they had misspelled the whole top of the cake. And it was a company who should know how to spell this phrase, okay? Because that's what they boast. They are this type of company that can spell this. And when I saw that it was misspelled, I instantly flashed to when I was relaying the what I wanted on the cake on the phone. And I remember starting to spell it out. And the person taking the order said, "Oh, we know how to spell that." And I'm like, "Oh my God, of course you do." And I felt a part of me wanted to continue spelling it because of control issues. But I felt like I was going to be insulting this company that has made their money off of being able to be in this culture. So I didn't. So when it was really misspelled, my instant reaction was like, my heart started beating and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting so mad. And then I was like, okay, you know what? No one was really harmed. They misspelled it. Do I want to call this company? Mm. Yes, I do want to call this company. Mm. And so I talked to someone, and even though there were moments where a part of me wanted to get all mad and jab and jab and jab, I just breathed deeply and handled it with way more tact than the person previously, my former self.
Mm-hmm. So when you say tact, would you say that the way that you handled yourself, the way you spoke, the perspective that you came from when addressing this second situation was really from, of course, yes, you acknowledge you are upset. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you were also able to take the stance and perspective that, hey, you know what? I want you to know that this is going on at your company. Instead of... Man, I'm going to get that bitch.
Well, yeah, right? Yeah, and ultimately I truly believe that the way you handle something should leave you feeling good, even if it's a tough situation to handle.
You should be able to walk away from it feeling proud of how you conducted yourself.
Exactly. And even before I got the letter from that other place back
from
in
the first incident,
yeah. Even before I got the letter, I did feel badly. I felt like, okay, did I have to do that? You know, did I have to rage out like that? Like, I didn't have to rage out.
Well, let me ask you a question.
But in this situation, okay. I felt like, okay, no.
Well, you didn't rage out.
And I let them know. And yeah. It's important for their business to know.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
That, hey, you know, you're compromising your brand. Mm-hmm. Aside from just the basic, I paid for something and didn't receive that something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how you conduct yourself, like, it should leave you, even if it's hard to do, it should leave you feeling good about who you are and how you handled it. And that's the happiness part. I mean, yeah, I might not be so happy, but it's like, I feel good in how I handled myself there.
So in the first situation, by the way, I think this is a really great example. So thank you for sharing it. So in the first incident, in the example where you said, hey, you just raged out.
Yeah.
Are you saying that when you use that payphone to call this company, you were basically having in your mind the idea of, okay, bitch, that's how you treated me. Watch what I'm going to do.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
I mean, because
I wouldn't say that.
Not so much.
I felt more like, how dare you treat me that way? So when I called, it was more about like, hey, business, you got to know what's happening in your stores. You got to know what's happening in your restaurants.
You got to get a handle on this.
Yeah. And for me, I think just naturally for me, customer service is really important.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's just like, you know, someone gives you their money and it's kind of like, yeah, have a good day, whatever, goodbye. I really think it's an opportunity to connect. And absolutely. Which is why when I was in retail, I loved that part of it. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's my framework, right?
Sure.
I feel like, yeah. Oh, you know, it's a nice time to interact with people. And so at the time, I didn't have the awareness that this person hurting me by being so huffy, right, was probably hurt sometime in the day, her wounds she brought to the job, or who knows what happened for her in the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I was just thinking about myself.
Okay.
Right? Like, you did that. I was taking it so personally. How dare you treat me
Okay.
Versus she was probably like, oh my God, who knows? Maybe she had a ton of kids and like she just felt pulled on and here she is at work. Maybe her kids were sick at home and here's someone else asking for more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, granted, I'm just asking for napkins, shoyu, whatever. But it's like, you don't know what people's last straw is.
Right, right.
And sometimes we are that last straw for them, mm-hmm. even if we don't mean to be.
Right.
So now in my you know, more healed self and greater awareness, I feel like whenever someone is snippety like that, mm-hmm. I always try to, and now more than not, you know, it's like we deal with so many people on the phone, customer service wise.
Right.
Some people are just so like, they hate their job and they're so, you know, and it's like, instead of just going, oh my God, they're just such a bitch or whatever it is, right? I really do this now. I really try to help them feel seen.
Yeah.
And help them have a good day and help try to have a truly present conversation with them.
Right.
That might be different from maybe the majority of calls they're handling that day, just to help them know, hey, I see you.
Right. And I appreciate the job that you're doing. You're doing an important thing and you're really helping me here. I appreciate that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's hard to take that stance if you are angry, if you are an angry person,
right.
If you are a person who, you know, just hasn't done, tried to do some of the work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I just jumped in on what you were going to say. So
I love that example. And I guess it's slightly different because in the first incident, it was a direct one-to-one interaction with a person who was treating you poorly.
Yeah.
You know, versus in the second situation with the cake, by all accounts, an honest mistake. I don't think somebody intentionally was like, I'm going to spell this wrong.
It's an honest mistake. But at the same time, this level of mistake is so foundation. It's such a foundational error that it's like, no, that this shouldn't be happening for this large of a company.
Right.
For what, you know, it wasn't
in their area of specialty.
In their area of specialty. But I have to say that while I was on the phone with the person, I could tell she was younger. And I know you can't judge on age, but I could tell from how she was relating that she was still learning a lot about maybe how to handle customer service type complaints or whatever it might be. Okay. But one of the things she did say that pushed a button and I had the opportunity in that moment to go, okay, am I going to rage out at this? Or am I going to choose another road here? Not. Right?
Yeah.
She said, I know it's such a small thing to misspell a cake. Mm. But to me it's not a small thing.
Well, that's the
exactly what you did. And
the irony of that is that the attitude that it's a small thing is what creates the mistake.
Exactly.
Right. Anyway, okay. We didn't know that this episode was going to be about spelling things on cakes.
Okay, go.
Okay. So all of this talk about shoyu packets and chopsticks and cake spelling is just a way to have us encourage you. Yes. You know what? No matter what other people may say, again, we don't know what kind of circles you may be exposed to in your family or coworkers or friends, if they're the type of people who, you know, might put down all of this self-help stuff or stuff as being just hippy-dippy, airy-fairy, woo-woo stuff. But we want to encourage you, no, continue your practice, continue your self-reflection, continue your personal development work. Doing that is taking responsibility. Doing that is becoming less a part of the problem.
Yeah.
Doing that. Doing that is becoming more a part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need in our society. So you are doing all of us, the rest of your fellow citizens, you're doing all of us a great service. We appreciate it. So this is that encouragement.
I like that.
And, you know, I just want to close it by realizing that, surprisingly, I think this is what Jesus was talking about when he talks about the speck in your brother's eye and the plank in your own eye.
I don't know.
You know
this.
That? Do you know that verse?
Tell it.
Jesus is saying, hey, why are you looking at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? And you're not even paying attention to the big 2x4 in your own eye.
Oh.
And you're saying to your brother who has the speck, you're saying, oh, let me take the speck out of your eye.
Mm.
And all the time there's this 2x4 in your eyeball. You know, you're such a hypocrite. You have to take the plank out of your own eye. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to see clearly,
yeah,
to help take the speck out of your brother's eye. I feel,
yes,
like that's one way of illustrating the whole thing of, no, take responsibility for yourself.
Totally. Yes.
See how you are possibly contributing to the problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's
right,
good,
on, Jesus.
Toast.
Preach it.
Okay. We should get the monthly whipping from you.
What? Oh, sermons by Toast.
Yeah. Spiritual whoop.
Spiritual whoop.
Spiritual whoop.
Alrighty. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, your happiness is a moral obligation to society. So work on it.
Yes.
Do work on,
yes,
it. Don't apologize for,
no,
it.
Don't be embarrassed.
Hedge. Don't hesitate. It's not a selfish thing. It's a responsible thing.
Yes.
And we thank you. Until next time.
This is Sienna.
And this is Toast telling you, whoop, whoop, whoop. Love life, live free. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Hi, I'm Jane Asher, and I believe, and from what I've been shown, that when our loved ones die, they don't really leave. They just slip into the next room. On my podcast, I explore the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows when we do die. I speak with authors, friends, transition specialists, and other experts about every facet of death, dying, grief, hospice care, cultural traditions, and also our beliefs about that final journey and what we may end up facing. Please join me on The Next Room on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.